So we are now actually starting Masechta. So the first question that I want to take up in Masechta is the connect. Well, the first topic of the first Mishnah is Bidikat Chametz, which right off the bat makes us ask, well, what is its connection? Because if you remember, we read through the Pesukim. We read many Pesukim. There were many mitzvot involved in Pesach, and one of them is not Bidika, because Bidika is not a mitzvah d'oraita. Correct? Right. If anyone remembers a Pasuk just as it was, then please tell me. But it was not. Bidika, in its form that we have it, is clearly rabbinic. The question then you always need to ask, whenever you have anything like this, is, okay, but how does it connect? Whenever you have a derabbanan, how does it connect to the biblical value that it is ostensibly connected to? It says destroy chametz, right? Or lashvit, whatever lashvit means. But destroy. That's the daraita, and this is the most likely connection. What might indicate? Why would you think that bidika is connected to biur or tashvitu at the same time? When do you do biur? The bidika happens to Orla Arbasar, which is the 14th at night. When does biur happen?
Next day.
Okay. Okay, good. Thank you. I didn't want you to overthink it, right? But you can't destroy it unless you know what it is. Right? There is a very practical connection. Good. Is there?
Doesn't tashvitu happen on the first day, which is the 14th night?
No. Well, okay. We will have to get to that because we saw the complexity over when the Yom HaRishon is and what does that mean, and we'll get to there and what the unique status is of 14. That is going to be one of the questions. This is always the problem, right? When you're reading the Mishnah, we could have stopped and said, okay, or Larab Asar, and first analyze why we're talking about the 14th. We will do that, but it'll be the other way around, just because. Yes, let's talk about the...
A lot of people do it.
But we will come to that. There's another reason why you might think that they are connected. Let's see how well you remember. Well, so there's the practical reason. Did anyone remember doing Bidikat Chametz last year?
Yeah,
okay, so someone, remind me what you did.
My mom had
before you walked around with the guys with a flashlight. Before you wrapped up the Cheerios, right? As we've already established, we're going to have Biur Avodah Zarah. We're going to wrap up 10 idols and do that, right? Though my favorite story ever about this was, Briskers really don't like this minhag because, that wrapping up 10 pieces of bread, because it makes you nervous. Why would you, I get very panicky about this minhag. It's like, I have 5 little kids. Like, that could very easily make me have to tear my house apart afterwards because you'll find 9, right? And you really don't want that. What? Right. Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik told me that when he was growing up, his father didn't like doing it because his father is very nervous like that. And he said, but when he came back from school, so in school, what do they tell you about Bidikat Chametz? Yeah, so he was very, very upset. What? I want to hide the 10 pieces of bread. So finally his father came up with a compromise. And they hid 10 pieces of matzah, which is the most... What?
But then my next case,
I'm
going to have to find them again.
Anyways, so what did you do before you went around looking for the 10 pieces of whatever?
Matzah.
Matzah. Sure. No, that was after. What did you do before? You said a bracha. What was the bracha? Al bir chametz. You're like, oh. Okay, so the fact that they're connected doesn't seem to also be reflected in the bracha that we say. So we do have to ask, what is the connection between this dirabanan and the mitzvah that it's fulfilling, which is going to force us along the way, right, to figure out, well, what is the nature of the mitzvah of biur, right? So we got to get, what is bidik? Now, again, if we were doing this purely conceptually, right, I would have, if I was giving a Rambam Chabura and we weren't in Gemara, I probably would have started, well, what is the Isur Chametz, what is Biur, what is Bidika, right? Would have gone conceptually, but we're going to follow the Gemara here, so sometimes, you know, it's maybe not the smoothest way conceptually.
How can you say a bracha
on like a Derabanan? Well, it's a mitzvah Derabanan. You don't say bracha on a mitzvah derabanan.
It's
not a chumrah. It's a mitzvah derabanan. But that's exactly the point, Kobi. And this is the question I want to deal with, which is, wait, what exactly is the nature of bidika? You thought a chumrah. It's not. It's a mitzvah. And you learn that from the fact that we have, hey, a bracha. But it's a weird bracha. Al biur chametz.
It's all connected to the biur itself. It's the rice, so it's like... Really
okay, good. So this is exactly the question I want to figure out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see how well you remember it. This is one of those things. It's like you do. I wrote, what bracha do you make before you burn the chametz?
You just said like a phrase.
You don't. Very good. You don't. You say nothing until afterwards when you say kol chamira, right? Right? You go, you burn the chametz, fun times, and then you say, kol chamira. What?
How are you allowed to say...
It's not hefsek, or hefsek, right? Yes. Good! You understand why it's important to understand what is the connection between these two things, right? Because they're clearly connected, and the question is, how? What is the nature of the mitzvah, the rabbanan, of bidika, and how is it connected to the mitzvah, the right, of tashbich?
Well,
good. Are you?
Well, you're saying it on the Durban.
Are you? What bracha did you say again? Al Bir Chametz?
But you're saying it at the time of the Durban extension on the Durban.
Good. What does Bir mean again? That's it? Does it? What? Did you get to the end of the sheet?
No.
Oh, okay. Thank God. So, what does Bir mean? Burning? Destruction? What else does it mean?
Removal.
Is that the only... Oh, removal. Oh, it might mean removal, too.
Oh, yeah.
But you know that. Where?
The air and the sea.
Or...
If it's
sure. But where does it mean that? Does in Torah? In Chumash? My Balkarei. When does the word beer mean to get rid of and to clear out and not to destroy?
Clear out.
It's several times, but let's say, I don't know, in 2 weeks, Lainey, in the continuation of the Parsha, right after Bikurim, which you guys forgot about last time I asked you about Kitavo, so now let's go to the next part of the immediate next mitzvah in Kitavo after Bikurim, let's see if you remember that, is Vidui Maestro. That after every 3 years you clear out the Maestro, the Artia Kodesh, when I buy it, I got rid of it, I didn't destroy it, I got rid of it. I cleared it out, right? So Levi'er can also mean to get rid of, right? And we'll see that that's going to become important in the Shibboleth HaLeket. Also in Maram Chalava, but I only gave you one because I had some mercy. Only some.
Why are we talking about bracha?
You don't say bracha. You don't say bracha. It's not a bracha. Kol Chamira is bittul. And we're going to get to bittul also. It's not bittul. It's the nullification. It's not a bracha. It's the act of nullification. There are times, but you're right, and that's, I would like to at least get to that sugya in the first parak, which is brachot on Daf Zayin. You're right, we very, very rarely make brachot afterwards. There are a few mitzvot where we do, but that's against the general rule. Well, that's not a brachot mitzvah. That's brachot hoda'ah, right? You're thanking God for the food, but a brachot mitzvah, you're right, is almost always before, almost. No, not really. So the only one that's clear in the Gemara, and we'll see this in Daf Zayin, is Tvilat Ger. Is when a convert converts. Right, because he's not Jewish until after he goes to the mikvah. So then he makes the bracha. That's exactly the point. Right? That's why he has to wait. Ashkenazim have the minhag by all Tvilot. Every time you go to the mikvah and make a bracha, it's afterwards, modeled on Tvilat Ger. Right, so Sephardi women will make the bracha before, Ashkenazi women will make the bracha after. I don't know how often do you go to mikvah with a bracha. Have you ever gone to the mikvah and made a bracha? when you have an obligation to go to the mikvah. Right. Okay.
Wait, Rabbi.
Yeah.
So isn't
I don't know. Do people make a bracha when they're going to Har HaBayit? I actually don't know the answer to that. I should, but I've never gone up to Har HaBayit. I asked Rav Chaim Moser. I don't know. I don't know.
So is Biur not the mitzvah based on Kashmir?
We'll see. This is the question we got to figure out. This is what we're going to figure out, okay? This is our goal, is to figure out the connection of Bidika to Biur, Biur Tashbitu, right? The connection of that to Bal Yira Bal Yimatse, right?
Bal Yimatse seems to be a separate thing. And both the Ron and Tosos, after challenging Rashi, seem to...
You're jumping ahead 10 steps, but these are the questions we got to figure out.
I think Bal Yira Bal Yimatse are all extension of the Tashbitu.
Maybe.
Tosos seem to have two practical reasons. Well,
Let's get there. Okay. So let's read the Mishnah. Or Arbasar, the night of the 14th, which of course about an entire blot here is devoted to the question of why is night called. Or, and the Gemara by the end will tell you because... Well, by the end, the Gemara is going to tell you because we want to use clean language. Because or sounds nice. Ooh, light, rather than, ooh, darkness. Night. Yes, but the Gemara doesn't want you to. Ooh, Lila, ooh, night, ooh.
The 10th paragraph of this Masechta starts Erev
Pesach. Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, I understand. This is why that's a very interesting question, and we'll get to that in a little bit on Dav Gimel. But or Larbasar... Bodkin et hachametz leor haner. You search for the chametz by candlelight. Kol makom she'ein machnisen bo chametz. And where do you have to search? So any place where you do not bring chametz in. Try it again. That was not grammatically correct, even though I know you knew what I meant. Right? Any place into which you do not bring chametz. Yeah. You couldn't finish that. That was a wrong sentence. Ein sarech bidika does not require searching. So if you have, I don't know, what's a place you don't bring chametz?
Bathroom?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it really depends, you know, as the poskim note, it depends who you are, right? If you have little kids, there is no such room. And that's really the poskim say. You have little kids. If you have little kids or weasels running around your house, which is Mara's actual example, what? Chulda. To Chulda.
Oh, there's
a Chulda. V'chi Chulda Niviyahu. Come on. You'll see in just a few blot one of the Gemara's few puns.
Like a prophetess?
The Gemara later on says, it has a suggestion that if it's the 14th of Nisan and you see a weasel hiding away chametz, they're... Right, they're hiding away and they're not going to eat it because they're going to store it because they know that Pesach is tonight. And then the Gemara says, "Wait, v'chi chulda nevi'ai?" Right? Is the weasel a prophetess? Which is only funny if you know Tanakh because
there's a prophetess
named Chulda. There is a prophetess in Tanakh named Chulda. Right? That's the only reason it's funny. But since you don't know Tanakh, it wasn't funny. But it's funny if you know Tanakh.
That's hilarious.
If you like puns, it's hilarious. If you don't like puns, no, that's a pun. That's a pun. That is actually classic. That is a classic pun. It was not talking about the prophetess. It's talking about a weasel. That's a pun. What? Same thing. Fine. So then the Gemara says, Uvame Amru. So what are we talking about? Shte shturot b'martef. Two rows in a wine cellar. Makom shemachnisen bo chametz. That's where you bring chametz. Why?
Because they used to have cellars for storing.
Because water. Cellars, and you go into. But why is the first two rows a place where you bring chametz?
That's because
you go in during the meal, right? You're in the middle of the meal, and you say, "Hey, I would like a bottle of wine." So you still have food, right? You're in the middle of eating your challah. You're in the middle of eating your dessert, right? You're having a piece of cake, and you're like, "Hey, this cake would pair very nicely with a white fruity dessert wine. Sure, whatever you want, right? And then you go down, right? We don't usually do that.
There are people who do this. Over the summer, my family, not me, I was a scholar in residence somewhere else, but my family went to my wife's cousins, and he's like a... He does everything. So he has a winery in his basement, and he brought Mayer down in the middle of the meal to go get to bottle a bottle of wine out of the big barrels, because he has 700 bottles worth of wine in those barrels.
Of course.
It was actually a very good one, yes. Yeah, he's a very talented person. He like grew up in like rural Slovakia and is very used to doing everything himself.
The issue I have with this is that, well, I mean, I guess with what?
With the serving wine cellar. No, it's only Makom Shalom. You can't get that far back. You don't bring the when you want wine.
The way it seems, you don't.
You go down. You get a cookie, right? With a cookie to get a bottle of wine. You go to the front.
Look, say it is that you can check back in the back.
So they go up. Oh no! So no one thinks you're checking the back. Mara's going to figure out whether it means the top two, right? Fine, but it's still you don't. The bottom corner in the back. You don't.
Yeah, because the dog wouldn't like that whole thing. Right?
It's not the dog. Dog doesn't matter. Look, it's makom. No, it's makom shemachnisim bochametz. No, it's makom. This rule. You're mixing rules. This rule is makom shemachnisim bochametz.
You're wandering in your basement, and there are lines of barrels running along the.
Right.
And they say you only have to check the front, but if you just go through the hallway to the back.
But that's not where you go. So that's not where you. Yes, I don't know how much they did that. It was mostly for calories. The reason people had wine was a lot for calories. Anyway, so Beit Shammai Omrim Shtei Shurot Al Pnei Kol HaMartev. Beit Shammai says it's two entire right faces of it, right? Right. So it's not a row; it's an entire right. It's a face of it, right? Whether it's here or here, but it's a face. Well, that's part of the Gemara is going to figure out. I mean, it's not a row. It's a, right, either the front two faces, let's say, right? As opposed to a row, right? Or the Gemara talks on top, but it's Pnei Kol HaMartev. And Beit Hillel says, no, it means two rows, which are the upper rows. Okay. Fine. So here we introduce the mitzvah derabbanan of bedik, of searching wherever you would bring chametz. During the year. So Rashi here says, and this is the main machloket I want to start with. What does Rashi say? Right? Well, before we even do that, right, so again, I said, so if you just knew the psukim, why would you say you need to search? Right? Tashbitu. And what about Tashbitu? You need to know where it is to destroy it. Right? Right? So it could be related to Tashbitu. Alternatively, it could be related to the prohibition, right? Meaning there's a sort of a series of things related. Because on the one hand, you need to know where it is to destroy it, and you need to know where it is to destroy it so that you don't violate Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh, right? That analysis we just said is who's, what? We'll see, no. We'll see, no, but... Right, but that's going to be the question, what does Yireh and Yim Batzeh mean?
Where are, like, for example, Beit Shammai says you can check two old faces, right?
Right, so we'll see that.
It's possible that the cookie that someone got to the back is like, basically, you need to check and you don't... Like,
right, so we'll see that the halachically we're going to qualify it, because seeing chametz is not usur, especially if it's not yours, whereas owning it is usur, right, even if you don't see it, and that the Gemara is going to have to prove that. Before bittul. Before bittul, without bittul. Right, if it's not yours, you don't violate. So the Rashi says that what's the connection to this with the Doraitas? He says Bodkin shelo yavor alav bival yiroeh uval imatzeh. If you do not do bedika, you will end up violating bal yiroeh bal imatzeh because you won't know where it is, and therefore it will remain in your house, and therefore. It will be in your house, and you will violate the prohibition for it to be found in your house, right? You will not be able to destroy it, which means it will be extant.
So for the mitzvah of bittul, there's, not mitzvah, of bedika, there's an amount you have to go looking because you suspect there might be chametz there. But even if there might be chametz somewhere else, since you don't have to suspect that,
then you can just ignore it, whereas otherwise you'd be able to.
Yes.
That's really weird.
Good. So Kobe says, well, wait a second, why do I only have to check in certain places? Maybe I should check everywhere on the off chance.
If it's about Bayern and Bayern Matze, then either I should just do bits or not worry about it.
And
okay, good. So wait, so before you get to Tosfot, let's understand Rashi for a second. Right, so Rashi, right, before we ask any questions on Rashi, Rashi seems to have a very simple argument, right, which is that biblically you cannot own chametz. You must therefore destroy it so that you don't own it. You must know where it is such that you can destroy it, such that it doesn't remain in your property over Pesach, and therefore you have bedikah. Now, that there's still, as simple as that argument sounds, there's still a bit more that we have to push Rashi, even before we get to Tosfot, right? Which is, but wait a second. Bedika is an actual mitzvah. Derabanan, like you're obligated to search, right? You're obligated to search, right? But why do you need a mitzvah derabanan? If Rashi's right, why do you need a mitzvah derabanan? Right, why don't you just say you have to destroy the chametz? And well, we all know if you want to destroy the chametz, make sure you don't own it, you need to find it. But you don't need a formal institution called bidika. So that might lead you to believe, right? That might lead you to believe that, and this is where I asked you, so what is the connection between bidika and biur / balyur or balyimatze? So according to Rashi, when you think about it, according to him, it's not clear to the extent to which we really, it's accurate to call this only a derabanan, right? Because it is also the practically necessary background to being able to fulfill tashbih, to and avoid balyur or balyimatze. It happens to be that the rabbis formulated it and concretized it into an obligation, but according to Rashi, it seems very clear that what? That bidika, even if it's derabanan, is... Right, it's like the rabbi is requiring you, and you have this sometimes, right? You have derabanans sometimes, which are merely rabbinic formalizations of what fundamentally is true at a biblical level to begin with, and the line becomes very, very unclear.
Isn't it just a necessity already of the
rest? So Kobe said, but wait a second, if that's all it is, then why would you even need a derabanan chiyuv? Isn't it just obvious? Right. And the question whether that shows, you have to figure out tashbih too. Because maybe you'll say it's completely obvious. Or maybe you'll say, no, maybe tashbih too is only destroy that which you know about. Right? Or something like that. Right? And like, bidika is setting a higher standard. Right? So, within Rashi...
Okay, we don't have markers.
So, what's clear from Rashi is that Rashi thinks that in some way... that in some way bidika is contributing, participating, partaking of the mitzvah d'oraita of avoiding balyur balyimatze, and presumably its positive inverse, which is teshbitu. But one second. But then you have to ask, in what way are those connected? Right? One possibility is to say that this derabanan is really just a restatement of the d'oraita. Right? It would be a minimalist approach, which would be to say, listen, the fact that in order to destroy and avoid owning chametz, you must search for it, that's obvious. And therefore, the fact that the rabbis make you search is little more than a, right, than an articulation. I'm laying out different possibilities. Is little more than an articulation of what should be obvious by inference from the d'oraita. That's a possibility. However, It does happen, right? So, for example, right, and this is not an exact parallel, but whatever. Who has, you have a Rambam here. Whose Rambam is it? It's between two of you. Whose is it? Okay, so if you want an example of somehow how Daraita and Darabanan can get blurred, it's again, it's not a perfect example, but turn to Hilchot Avel, Perek Yudalet, Halacha Aleph. What? Yes, it's a specific halacha. That is what I'm asking him to do. Right? Hilchot Avel is in Shoftim at the end. the end. You're way too, I don't know exactly what page you're on, but you're too close to the beginning. Hilchot Avel is almost at the end of Mishnah Torah. Yadalid. Right, so I want you to listen very carefully while Mordechai reads this Rambam. Right?
Okay. Which halach al? All right. Mitzvah asay shall devrayhem levaka cholim ulanachem avelim ulahotzis hames ulahachnis akala ulavayet ha'arkim ulalavot avot ha'arkim ulasok befal sarachim.
Yudalad. Yudalad. So what does he say? There's a mitzvah midivrehem. What's midivrehem? Rabbinic, right? To visit the sick, to all those things, right? Visit the sick, to comfort the mourners, to accompany the... all those people, right? Good. And then what does he say at the end of the halacha? One more line back, like earlier. Right, even though these are all rabbinic, yes. But they're all under V'haftar Yecha Kamocha. Right, so what is he saying? He's saying, look, V'haftar Yecha Kamocha clearly includes anything that you would want your friend to do for you, which includes visiting you when you're sick, nichum avelim, right? All those things. But, right? But Chazal seems to somehow, but he calls it a mitzvah midivrayim. Because Chazal concretize what's clearly an expression. So if someone visits the sick, are they mekayim a mitzvah derabanan or a mitzvah daraita? Yes, both sort of, right? Meaning they're fulfilling a derabanan, which is an expression of a broader but more amorphous Torah value. No, it is, but it's more amorphous than, right, maybe more amorphous, like lacking shape, right, than visit the sick, right? So what the Rambam is saying, yeah, so sometimes you really do have derabbanans that are just sort of formalizing the daraita. So you could, if you wanted to argue, that bitika is something like that. Like, the fact that there's a mitzvah of tashbitu, and the fact that there's a prohibition of lo yareh, lo imat, zeh chametz, you can't find it, means you've got to make sure the chametz isn't there. Make sure the chametz isn't there. You have to search for it. And sometimes the rabbis do little more than take what is sort of obvious by implication and concretize it. So it's possible. That would be a really minimalist read of Rashi. But Matan doesn't like it. Why don't you like it? You don't like it. Why don't you like it?
Because I feel like the separate commandment to search is inherently necessary based on the context in which Svalyarai applies.
Isn't that what I just said? You're taking the minimalist position, which is that this is, that Bidika is inherent in the Doraita. And therefore
it inherently requires a separate commandment.
But it doesn't have a separate commandment. It has a rabbinic obligation.
The rabbinic obligation being separate is required, basically.
Because.
Rabbi has commented on this a bit by saying that, like, just like the way chametz is, like, part of our lives nowadays would require, like, a thorough search.
Isn't that basically what we just said,
if you just say you Balyarei Balyamatze, then, like, yes, technically, based on that, you would have to do a Bedika in order to make sure you're not violating Balyarei Balyamatze, but without a specific commandment from the Rabbanim to say you do need to do this Bedika by candlelight, whatever,
people wouldn't be as
thorough. They think, oh, there's not going to be chametz.
Okay, so no, but that's it. So that's really exactly what I just said, right? That by saying that, look, the rabbis did very little more than basically articulate what is inherent, right, which is implicit.
But they make it a mitzvah derabanan, is what you're saying.
Okay, right, so you could take it a step farther, which is, listen,
when we do that, we need to sort of bolster that. And that seems to be what the Rambam's actually saying in that case, right? Is we there are certain acts of chesed that we want to, like, draw your attention to, so we give it an extra push, and we formalize it into a derabanan. Okay, right? So maybe that's a little bit more maximalist, right? It's not just a restatement of the Daraita, but it's, okay, we give it an extra push. But it's still another way of saying that, look, we're not doing that much more, right, than concretizing what is implicit in Tashbitu, Bali or Bali Matze, right? Both of those are, they're slight variances, I get. But, right, that, how else might you read Rashi, though?
Well, looking at that in the same way.
And don't quote me Tosud yet. How else might you understand Rashi?
You could also say that they're concretizing it from the other angle, where they don't, where it's, they don't want people to get into the neurotics of it. That the Torah.
You're being so modern. It's like, oh, they're making you less neurotic. All you got to do is search, and then you're okay.
Well, you got to search the places where you know you can't even think.
This test we do is so much less neurotic. You just have to say, oh, I destroy everything you know you have, or just.
Okay, so this is where things get a little bit tricky, right? Is you do, if what I just, if the first formulations that I suggested were right, you would expect that whatever type of chametz the Daraita applies to, the Darabanan applies to. That may not be true, right? That's what you're really highlighting, is that that may not be true, right? It could be that Bedika only applies to certain type of chametz, whereas Tashbitu or Bali Rabbali Matze applies to
A broader, right?
It's about stuff that
Darabanan is always more machmer than Daraita. Almost always, right? Meaning we're more demanding, right? Maybe
It's not, but it's.
What do you mean? You're not adding.
You're highlighting.
You're not adding. Well, okay.
How could you say that what Gil Risa says is the chametz you need to get rid of is not actually the chametz you need to get rid of?
No. Okay, so Kofi's questions are going to get us into what we will realize about Rashi after we see Tosfot, which is maybe Rashi's doing something different than what I just said, but to figure that out, we really need to figure out, well, what exactly is the nature of the Daraita?
Well,
okay.
Okay, so there are two types of chametz, but not like, not like it's all flour and water. That's rhythm. But there are two types of chametz: that which you normally carry around and eat, and that which you don't. So with the stuff that is not in your habit to eat, you might more easily just throw it to the wind and say whatever. I'll just forego that, and that could be under tashbito. However, the Rabbanan had an extra geder sayag for chametz that you normally carry around, because that's the chametz that you like, and you might say, I'm being tashbito and all this, aside for this stuff that I like to bring down myself.
So we'll see that formulation will be important to hold the thoughts, okay? But you're getting towards what will probably be true at some level. So Tosfot challenges Rashi, and he says, Peirush HaKuntres, right, so Pehei, Peirush HaKuntres, right, Rashi said, why is Rashi called Kuntres? Because he was used to be publishing pamphlets, right? That's all. Shelo la'avor alav b'bal yirai u'bal yimatze. Right? That you do bedika so that you don't violate b'al yirai yimatze. V'kashe l'ri. And this is a problem. The ri did not like this. Okay. Who is the ri? Well, who's Rashi, I guess. Okay, sure. Shlomo Yitzchaki. What century did he live in? He lived in Old France, thank you. What? 11th century? 11th century? Wow. Yes? And the Re. The Re is Rav Yitzchak of Dampierre. Right? He's one of the early Bali Atosfot. What? Yeah, okay. So the Re says Keva, right? So the early Balitas are all family with Rashi, right? Grandsons and sons-in-law and etc. Vikasha the Re, great grandsons. Kevan did Tzarech Bitul. So he says, wait a second. You don't need Bedika to avoid Bal Yira Bal Yimase because you already did what?
Bitul.
You nullified it. Kidamar gibi Gemara habodek tzarech sheyivatel. Because the Gemara says later that even if you do Bedika, you need to do Bitul, right? Kol Chamira. You need to nullify it verbally. Umi de'oraita bevitul ba'al masagi. And biblically, it is sufficient to nullify it. Amai hitzrichu chachamim bidika klal. So if bidika is only to prevent the violation of bal yirah bal yimatzeh, then why require bidika if you're already doing bitul? V'nire liri, and therefore the Ri says, the avagav de sagi bevitol be'alma, even though it would be sufficient to do bitol, hechmiru chachamim livdok chamet ulivaro. Chazal were strict and required the search and destruction of chametz. Shelo yavo le'ochlo. So that you won't end up eating the chametz that you find that you were mevatel. V'chein mashma l'kaman, and that's the implication. Daf yod, diboy Rava, because Rava asked, kikar b'shmei korah, if you have a loaf of bread hidden in your roof, v'chule, odil mazim l'nafav ati l'michle, and the Gemara there said, do what you have to do, and in the middle of that conversation, we'll see, that was one of the Gemaras I gave you to look at, right, daf yod, right, Daf Yod Amud Bet, right at the beginning when I said, look at the other Gemaras that Tosfot brings for his proof. The Gemara there says that you might end up eating it. Vatam Shechmiru Khan. Now he says, but wait a second. Why here of all places would you go out of your way to set up a prohibition? To set up an obligation to search, to avoid the possibility that you might eat it, even though you're not violating Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh because you already were mevatel it. So he says, because mishum de chametz mutar kol hashana, reason one is because chametz is mutar the whole year, and therefore you're not used to separating from it, and therefore even mevatel, if you happen to find an entire box of Entenmann's, which you're mevatel, you might end up eating it. Might. I know. V'lo nesa rak bepesach, v'lo bedi limine, so people don't separate it from it, because amr lekamon, v'lo dami lebasar v'chava arlo uklaya kerem. And it's not like other things which are always prohibited, like meat and milk and arla, right, produce in the first 3 years, and klei akerem, right, things that grow together in a mixture in a vineyard, which are biblically prohibited forever. She isurim noheg isur olam. And he says, there are other prohibitions that are temporary, like nazir, right? So you might say, oh, so maybe a nazir should have to get rid of all wine in his house because lo bedile mine, he's not used to separating from it. You can't say that either. Nam isturei shari l'acharine, because Mordechai may have decided to become a Nazir. You never grew your hair that long. Kobe may have decided to become a Nazir, right? Yeah, you do. That's really Ellie. Really. Ellie's hair was longer. But other people are allowed to have wine, so you can't be forced to get rid of it. Inami shiny chametz shechmiru b'tor lavar b'aval yira b'al yimatzeh. Or alternatively, it's more machmir in general, like we saw in the Radbaz. Therefore, hechmiru chachamim livdok va'aro. And therefore, we're machmir afilu hecha debitlo, even if it's batel mishum doma de lemichle, because you might eat it. Okay, we'll pause there for a minute. So what does Tosfot say? What is the nature of the mitzvah of bidika? Make sure you don't eat it, because once you have done bitul, then you, even if you had chametz in your house, you would not, on a biblical level, violate bal yirah bal yimatzeh, and therefore the bidika is not necessary to fulfill the mitzvah of bal yirah bal yimatzeh. Or to avoid the Avera of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, more precisely.
And therefore, bedika is only a derabanan stringency to avoid eating chametz. Okay. So now this gets a little bit complicated, right? So Kobe says, oh, wait a second. Isn't Bali or Bali Matze just
so that you don't need it?
So why? Is it?
I think so. What's the point otherwise? Like, what is like some?
What, you already forgot yesterday? What, right? Remember, we said yesterday, right? Well, that depends. If you think that Bali Rabbali Yimatze is a siyag, all right.
I'm just saying, even if it's not a siyag, it's still, even if it's on mitzvah, it's still.
Isn't that what Rabbi Yosef Engel argued against? He said, once it's all right, it is. It's its own thing. So you can't reduce it to a siyag.
What's the point? What's the point of Bali Rabbali
Yimatze? It's usher. That's what we did yesterday.
So weird.
We spent an hour on this yesterday.
So weird, especially
considering Kobe, do you understand now why I spent an hour yesterday on the question of whether there's such an siyag d'oraita? Because of this, right? Because as much as I tell, right, even though Kobe yesterday was the one telling me there can't be a siyag d'oraita, once it's biblical, it's intrinsic, he turns around on me and says,
siyag.
No!
It's not a siyag, it's just a different part of the overall esoteric
promise. That means it's independent, which means that it's intrinsically problematic to own chametz.
It's not a siyag, but it's about not eating. Like, I don't understand any point to it otherwise.
That would be a siyag. The whole definition of a siyag are things that independently aren't valuable. They're valuable insofar as they serve some other value. That's the definition of a siyag. That is what you were calling it. A siyag d'oraita. You are now coming down hard on the side that is siyag d'oraita.
I have a nice idea for why seeing chametz has anything to do with Pesach or whatever.
Rebbe, it's not a commandment or related to another commandment. It's just a thing to do.
It's a thing to do. It's because it's the instantiation of the Yetzer Hara sitting in your room.
It's the right?
Wait,
so okay.
Wait. So we the rest of the year, I get to eat the Yetzer Hara? That's what I said.
Oh, yeah, okay. I don't want to go down this path too much. But what do we have now, okay?
Your house or
wait, so Tosfos, one second. So Tosfos asks on Rashi, guys, so Tosfos asks on Rashi, and he says, wait a second. There, biblically, all you need to do is get rid of it. You can get rid of it by nullifying it, right? Through Bittul. Yes? And we already said that Chazal require you to do bittul, even if you're doing bedika, which means that even if you don't do bedika on a biblical level, as long as you do bittul properly, you will not violate Bali or Bali Matze. So, Tosfos says, so how could Rashi say that you need bedika to protect you from Bali or Bali Matze? You have bittul to protect you from violating Bali or Bali Matze. Good. Now that we have Tosfos' question, let's go back. Let's try to understand Rashi. Let's try to understand Tosfos. Okay? And we're going to go back and forth, because each time we explain one of them, right, it'll create a problem for the other. Okay, so someone try to defend Rashi. Okay? I'm asking you logically to defend Rashi. Or Tosfos, or explain Tosfos more. And, right, I want you to keep in mind, what are the connections between each of these? Between Bedika, between Bior, between Peshbitu, right? How are these connected? The Derabanan to the Daraita, right? Keep that in mind. Right? This is the major, major question in this sugya. So, someone, defend Rashi.
To get rid of you get rid of the Chametz, and then, therefore, you dealt with...
But deal with Tosfos' question. Don't you have to do bittul? Okay, good. You have to do both. Why? You have to do both. Good. Why? 1 second. Take you in a second.
Wait, why?
I didn't know
that's not a full idea yet. You have to do both. Good. Now what?
Wait, why
according
to who?
Rashi. Right? You're according to Rashi, you have to do both. Good. Okay. Now. Yes. Okay. I'm listening. I want you. You could look at the Ron and get an answer from him. You tell me.
If you want to pass on the baton, you can. But first,
someone has something I want to say.
But I'm going to give you first. You tell me, then someone else can take over.
I don't know if that ended as far. It's just I feel like it's going to have to be both.
Okay. Good. Yeah. What about the psukim? Oh. Okay. Good. So, right. So, suggestion one is wait a second. Let's be very careful. What have we've been doing a little bit of conflating here between what? Bal yira, bal yamatze, and
tashbitu.
But maybe. Oh, maybe. Right. So one of the major questions that. In classic Lumdish terminology, is usually Shalom Daran Vaminchil Skenoch. And we'll come back to it. Is when we tell you have to do Tashbitu, there are two ways of looking at Tashbitu. One is that it is an active mitzvah to destroy Chametz. The alternative is that it's a passive, which is make sure you don't have Chametz. And if you haven't have Chametz, then the way to destroy it. What's the nafkamina? Whether you actually have to destroy it. What if I just ran out of chametz before Pesach? I just ran out. Right? Now, do I have to actively destroy it? It's just not there. Right? So if Tashbitu is an active mitzvah, then I might even have to go buy chametz so I can burn it or destroy it. But if you think it's purely passive, you wouldn't. But another way of putting that same question is, another way of framing that same question is, one second, is what's the connection between Tashbitu and Bal Yira Bal Yamatze, right? If Bal Yira Bal Yamatze are clearly passive, right? Don't have it seen, right? It's a prohibition. Don't do it. But what is the relationship between Tashbitu and Bal Yira Bal Yamatze? One way of saying it is that Tashbitu is just a positive formulation of Bal Yira Bal Yamatze, which is if you happen to have chametz, you have to destroy it so that you don't own it. But it's not really proactive. It's just an articulation of the proactive, right? Of the active way that you would, that you have to get rid of chametz in order to not violate Bal Yira Bal Yamatze. But, so let me finish my thought and come back to what Binyamin said in exactly a second, right? Which is, but what might you say? You might say, no. Bal Yira Bal Yamatze is passive, but Tashbitu is active. So you might come to Rashi and say, well, wait a second, let's read him much more carefully. Maybe when the Gemara says that midoraita bivitul ba'al masagi, that biblically it's enough to do bitul, it's enough to do bitul to do what? To avoid bal yira bal yamatze. But maybe it's not enough for tashbitu, which might be active. Now that's a very nice conceptual model. Does it work for Rashi? No, it doesn't work for Rashi. Why doesn't it work for Rashi? Because Rashi says that Bidika is Shelo Yavar Lav B'Bal Yira B'Bal Yamatze, right? See, I gave you a very nice Lumdus, which would be similar to Rashi, but would not work in his words. Right? Correct. And that's why this doesn't work. If I had said instead, you need to do Bidika to be Mekayim Tashbitu, that Lumdus would have been great. Which is, Bitul is enough to make sure that passively you aren't owning Chametz, but it's not enough to say that you actively destroyed it. But to actively destroy it, you need to search it out and destroy it. So maybe Bidika is, right, Bitul is enough to avoid Bal Yira Bal Yamatze, but not to be Mekayim Tashbitu. That's very nice, but it assumes two things, right? First of all, that Bitul isn't a Kiyum in Tashbitu, which is not obvious, right? And the second is that Bidika is a function of Tashbitu and not Bal Yira Bal Yamatze, which might be right according to some Rishonim, but is not according to Rashi. So it's good Lamdus, but it's, at least within Rashi, it's not correct. Okay, good. Someone else give me another option. Something fell off your head. Okay, so another possibility is, whoa. Maybe there is a difference between different types of chametz. Maybe bitul only helps for certain types of chametz, like small, little, insignificant chametz. But maybe significant chametz bitul doesn't work. Good. Now, why would you say that? Good. So you could just take this as a psychological point, which is Bittul requires actual psychological commitment to nullifying this. So crumbs, we can assume that authentically, when you say that this is kol chamir v'chamir d'hika birshuti, right, that it is ka'afra d'ara, well...
Sure. I mean, when I look at the floor, I don't know what's dirt and what's cereal and what's breadcrumbs. So, like,
whatever. Matzah, sure. Right? Bugs, I don't know. Right? So, maybe you would make a distinction and say, listen, maybe Rashi will qualify the Gemara and say Bittul is good for certain types of chametz. But there are certain types of chametz where we don't, either halakhically it doesn't work, or psychologically we assume you won't really do it, and therefore it won't work. And therefore you require actual destruction of more significant chametz, which therefore requires the tashbitu bidika conglomerate to make sure they do it. Good, so that's another conceptual direction, which is to limit the ability, right, limit the ability of Bittul to take effect, opening up a space in which you need a more active requirement to destroy it. And obviously, then the machloket between Tosfot and Rashi would either be, what is the parameters of Bittul halachically or psychologically, what can we trust you to do?
That was like a weird distinction, like the size of the chametz. Like,
so
you're only saying that because you interpret Bal Yerah.
So Kobe says, I don't like it, I don't like it, I don't like it.
To me, I literally can't see it. That's
good. So, but guys, remember what I told you like 3 days ago, that, you know, my goal is to get you thinking to the point where at some point you won't be surprised by the Gemara or the Rishonim, because you will be able to predict the conceptual models that are coming up. Not surprisingly, there will be Rishonim that will take exactly that direction. And then there will be people who will take Kobe's direction, which is, no, Bittul is magic. It can do anything.
Well, no, just Bal Yerah doesn't mean we can't see big pieces of chametz, but little ones I can't tell that they exist.
Yeah, I mean.
Someone then put a lot of use in a pair, I put the loaf of bread, put it in your closet, you wouldn't be able to fit
it on it. So Avi says, I don't like this quantitative distinction, because then, so, right, if someone put crumbs... Well, so good. So what distinction would you make? And guess what? Rishonim are going to make the distinction you are suggesting, or you don't even realize you're suggesting. And there's another distinction you can make between chametz. Oh, very good. So some Rishonim say, no. There are things that Bittul applies to and things that Bittul doesn't apply to, but it's not a difference between size of chametz. It's a difference between cognizance. You can be mevatel chametz. Right? That maybe it depends about whether I know about the chametz. If I don't know about the chametz, so I can legitimately say, look, I don't know about the chametz, so like, whatever.
Like,
okay, dirt. But if I know that there is a nice wedding cake sitting on my dining room table, and I say, no, it's nothing. It costs like $300, but like, you know,
whatever.
It's nothing. Right? This is $300 made by a 3 Michelin star, pastry chef. What? I didn't want to get political there. I wasn't going political, but whatever, right? But it's nothing. It's dirt. This is dirt. It doesn't exist. I'm telling you, it's sitting on my Seder table, but it doesn't exist. What do you mean there's a chametz on my table? That's dirt. Look, dirt, right? Right? You'll say, no, that's not how this works, right? If you know about it, you need to get rid of it. Good. So another possibility is to distinguish and say Bittul. Now, what is this obviously going to require us to do? And this is why this first Mishnah is opening up the conceptual questions that you have to ask throughout the first parak. What conceptual question do both of these formulations require us to ask? What is Bittul? Right? Right? You understand, this is one of the things about the first parak is that The concepts are very nice, but they all are very interconnected, because you got to figure out, how is Bidika connected to Bir, connected to Bal Yerah, Bal Yerah Matzeh, which is connected to Bittul, but what does Bittul do, right? Each of them has, and what is the nature of Tashbitu, what is the nature of Bal Yerah, Bal Yerah Matzeh, how are they connected to each other, right? Each of these is a web of discussions, which is why, this is one sheet, but I'm not really sure how long this sheet is going to take us, because
you know, there's a lot packed in by the time you go all the Gemaras and Rishonim. You're good. But that's three formulations that defend either Rashi or Rashi-esque positions.
The first thing is that, like, even if, obviously, what the Gemara said is correct, how does the Shpitu fit into this thing?
Okay.
Unless you just, like, answer the question, this is okay.
So how does it depend? Well, what is it going to depend on? It'll depend on the meaning of tashbitu, right? So as we said, tashbitu could mean destroy, but then you have to ask, is bitul destruction? Is it? Or is it? Well, I don't know. That depends on the nature of the mitzvah of tashbitu and the nature of bitul.
Wait, what if it's meaning that, so we're saying that bitul is
tashbitu? Did I say that? I said that's what it depends on. Did I don't think I made a strong conclusion. I think I'm going out of my way to not do that. It's taking a lot of self-restraint, but I'm trying not to do that. Whether bittul counts as destruction hangs on the definition of bittul and the definition of tashbitu.
Okay. Also, the other thing I'm saying...
What?
Now.
Well, or to put it differently, right? When you have a machloka about whether X fulfills Y, right? That machloka can be one of two machloka. It can either be a machloka about what you need or what you have, right? So it can either be, right? We can either say Bittul accomplishes, right, X, but Tashbitu is X plus 10, right? And then you can challenge that assumption on two things. You can either say Tashbitu is capable of accomplishing X plus 10, or say that you overestimated what you need for Tashbitu. Tashbitu is really just X, right? So to bridge the gap between Tashbitu and Bittul, you either need to change the way you think about Bittul or the way you think about Tashbitu, right? So that's why I'm saying it's not clear which one it's going to be. So let's just summarize where we are so far, okay? So again, let's just summarize where we are. So we said... The first Mishnah of our Masechet tells you that you need Bedika, which is odd because the Torah never says you need Bedika. The Torah says that you need Tashbitu, to destroy, and to not have it in your house. Balyar Balyamatsa. Rashi says that Bedika is so that you don't violate Balyar Balyamatsa. Right? Now we said that's weird right off the bat because then how is this a mitzvah derabanan? Right? So initially, we suggested that either you could say it's not really mitzvah derabanan, it's really just a rearticulation of the d'oraita, or maybe at least it's a formulation or concretization of the mitzvah d'oraita, maybe. Right? But then once you add Tosfot, you have another problem, which is, but wait a second, didn't you already fulfill balyar balyamatzeh or avoid it through bittul? Right? So possibility one, and this is not Rashi exactly, is to say, well, you have to ask whether tashbitu is like balyar balyamatzeh and merely passive, or is active. So potentially, bittul, bedika, would be unnecessary to avoid the passive. Shh, guys. Shh. Balyar balyamatzeh. I still have 4 minutes. But maybe it's not for the active, but that assumes that tashbitu is active. Now, this happens to not be Rashi himself, because Rashi says that bedika is about balyar balyamatzeh. So then we said, okay, well, how does he solve Tosfot's problem? So possibility one is different amounts of chametz, which forces us to ask, well, what is the nature of bittul such that it should or should not be able to apply to different types of chametz? Possibility two is it is chametz you know about or you don't know about, which again requires you to ask why would it work and why wouldn't it. But in order to figure this out, we need to figure out, well, how is bedika connected to tashbitu, which requires you both to figure out what does tashbitu require, and second, what does bittul provide? And only once you answer those two questions could you figure out where does bedika fill in the gap that's left by the gap between bedika tashbitu or bedika and balyamatzeh, right? We're not even close to finish, because some of you are not even thinking practically, right? We could have thought, and we'll see that some Rishonim we're going to say much more practical, which is you need bedika in case you don't do bittul.
Why would you? Bittul is the easiest thing to do.
Well, no, Bittul seems to be more.
But Dika's the harder one.
Oh, and Kobe says that doesn't make sense, and yet Rishon we're going to say that. Okay. It may take us a few days to sort of sort through this.